Good morning and welcome. It is a joy to worship with you, my friends, and to come together in the house of the Lord in joy this beautiful summer morning. I'd like to thank Susie for being our worship leader and our friend Dana for coming back and playing the piano for us. And after I preach, Joanne will sing for us again. And we are so grateful for her healing miracle that God has blessed her with her beautiful voice again to sing with us. As we come to the service of the Word, the preaching and teaching and hearing of the Word, I would like us to pray together for illumination as the people of God. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we ask that you would open all of our hearts, you would inspire all of our minds, that what we hear today from you may be a blessing and a gift, that we will be able to take it inwardly and make it live in our lives for your glory. Bless all we do in Jesus' name, in the hearing, in the reading of the word, and in the receiving of the word as a gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read one of my favorite passages from Jesus' words in Matthew. It is Matthew 6, verses 19 to 31. It is the wonderful words of Jesus, the wonderful teaching of Jesus, of treasures in heaven, and not to worry. Hear the word of God as it comes to us from the lips of Jesus, our Lord. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, but where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can be a slave to two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot be a slave to both God and money. And Jesus continues, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. Therefore, my friends, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And each day has enough trouble of its own. Let us pray. Our gracious God, fill us with the words of Jesus today, that they may inspire us to trust in you and to seek first the kingdom of God, and to know that all else will follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. My sermon is entitled for you today, A Summertime Spirituality of Simplicity. I love the season of summer. Although we've had kind of a hot summer, it's a little cooler this morning, and yet in the evening the breezes are cool. And in the early morning, often I take a walk around the neighborhood, and I think about the gifts of God. Summertime is a time of refreshing of the soul in God. We think about all the fun things that we do in summer. We go on vacations, we go to the lake, we go see relatives, we travel. And we refresh our bodies, our minds, our spirits to enjoy the good things of God's creation that He has given us. And so it is with our spiritual life, my friends. It is a summertime spirituality of the soul. It is a time of refreshing in God. And I like that. I want you to be inspired and uplifted today by the words of Jesus in the teaching to his disciples and to the people, because he cares about our souls. And the reason that I was inspired to use this passage of seeking first the kingdom of God and all else his righteousness is because of our beloved Joanne. She's a living witness of that. Do not worry. Do not be afraid, but trust in God. He knows about your body. He knows what you need. He knows the things that need to be healed in you. He cares about you. You are more precious to him than anything else. And he did that with Joanne, did he not, my friends? He cared for her body. He cared for her. Not so much about the outer things, but the inner things, knitting back together the sinews of her body, her mind, her soul, and her spirit. And that's a testimony, my friends, for all of us. And so today I want to talk about spiritual formation and spirituality. I had the opportunity to teach for 15 years about spiritual formation at Ashland Theological Seminary, and I taught classes on spiritual disciplines and prayer. Spiritual formation has been a major theme of Pastor Mike for the last year or two, and we've had a variety of groups offered in the congregation for people. And we understand that spirituality in Christ Jesus is really the process of being made like Jesus, the process of being formed into the image of Christ and allowing God's grace to touch our lives and to transform us into the image of his Son, Jesus. And we do that with practices. And so some of our practices are spiritual practices of spiritual disciplines. And spiritual disciplines are practices that we have done for 2,000 years throughout the church. And they've had a resurgence in the 20th century. They are exercises in godliness, where we practice holiness growing. It's the idea of exercises each day that we position ourselves to receive the grace and power and mercy of God. Marjorie Thompson, who's a spiritual writer, says spiritual growth is essentially a work of the divine grace within us. In spiritual practices, we open wide spaces in our lives to allow God to come in and gift us with grace, with blessings, with hope, with love, with healing, and with joy. Marjorie Thompson writes, spiritual formation is the magnificent choreography of the Holy Spirit within the human spirit. Nurturing the inner life requires a time of prayer, study, time alone with God each day to allow God to work in our hearts and our souls to make us unto Himself. You see, my friends, it's all about receiving the grace of God. It's not so much what we do, but it's how we allow God to do it in us and through us if we will open and invite Him in to do His work in us. And that's the gift that we have to sit at Jesus' feet, to become one with Him, and to let Him work with our souls and our hearts to make us unto Himself. My favorite scripture, Galatians 2:20, not that I live, but that Christ lives in me. You see, if we spend time each day with God alone, in the early morning, in the evening, we allow open spaces of God to come into our lives and nurture and grow our souls and our spirits. And that's for refreshment. That's for new life, new joy, and new being in God. I'm going to use a little image here. Many of you work outside in the garden in the summer, planting weeds, or planting flowers, digging up weeds, growing, etc. Marjorie Thompson talks about spiritual practices and spiritual disciplines. She says they're like garden tools. The best spade and hoe in the world cannot guarantee a good crop, but they make it more likely that growth will come and the growth will be unobstructed. The mystery of maturation lies in the heart of the seed, and the outcome of planting may depend upon the weather. However, tools are important in helping to ensure that the planted seeds will indeed bear fruit. Our garden tools can remove stones and roots, can aerate the soil, weed and water the garden. Our spiritual practices that we put in place in our lives in the morning, in the evening, walking, praying, on the porch, whatever, are like spiritual practices, are like garden tools, like prayer, scriptural reading of the Bible, have the character of the garden tool. They help keep the soil of our love in our hearts clear of obstruction. You see, that's what I like about the spirituality of simplicity. The spirituality of simplicity, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else will follow, is if our focus is on Christ alone, when we open ourselves to receive Him, when we put in place our garden tools of our souls, God clears out the obstruction. And then His grace and His love and His blessing is free to flow through us to yield fruit. He plants the seeds, He waters it if we allow Him, and He grows it to the fruits of the Spirit. Does that make sense? That's a gift. And what we receive is a blessing. It's an incredible blessing to let God into our soul, into our heart, into our lives, and clear out what has cluttered up our lives and to let it go. There's a spiritual writer called Adele Calhoun, and she talks about practicing the discipline of simplicity. And simplicity allows us to focus on God alone, to unclutter and unencumber our lives of stuff that binds us, and to let it go. And when we do that, we release within us a freedom to let God work where He so chooses, so that we can go deeper into trusting God in all things and letting go of worry, of anxiety, of fear, of doubt, of whatever binds us, to see God in all things. Simplicity, Richard Foster writes, sets us free to receive the provision of God as a gift. and to see ourselves as precious and loved by God, that all we are, all we have, and all we do is from the provision of the hand of God. And when we wrap all of our lives into the hand of God and put Jesus as the center of our heart, we live unto Him alone. And that is great power, my friends, to enact in our lives new gifts and blessings of God every day. And it gives us a life pattern to let the negative stuff of life go. I like that in summer. You can take time to reflect and see what has been a good practice in your life and what has been something that you want to let go of. Where has Jesus helped you have a positive response in your life? Where have been the things that have dragged you down that you want to let go of? To bring them to Jesus and to let it go. Perhaps in the summer, you can write down all the things each day. Write down one thing that is life-giving to you. Something you enjoy doing, that you get up each day to do, and you say thanks to God. Perhaps in the evening, you'd like to focus on the gift of slowing down. Something you want to begin to let go of. Something you want to relax in God. You don't have to carry it all. That's the gift. God will carry it. All you have to do is ask Him. Is ask Him. And be anchored in His love. Prioritize your life. Prioritize your focus. Adele Calhoun sums up the goal of simplicity. It is to uncomplicate and untangle my life so I can focus on what really matters. My friends, what really matters is Jesus alone. And when you focus on Jesus, simplicity then creates with Jesus in our lives margins and spaces and openness. So we can find Jesus and His kingdom first in our lives, and life becomes much simpler when everything coheres around our relationship with God, our relationship with the church, our relationship with our families and our friends. And then we are free. We are free to grow in the awareness of the values that Christ-likeness will grow in us to offer to one another in love, in care, and in grace. The gift of a summertime spirituality, of simplicity, is the resultant God-given fruit. We don't grow in spirituality empty. We grow like the seed to become full and to become bearers of Christ's fruit in our lives and in the lives of others. I want to talk about Henry Nouwen for just a minute. Henry Nouwen's a great spiritual master, and you know I love reading him and teaching about him. And he has a question for you, and I want you to think about that today. Henry Nouwen talks about scaffolding. He says in our lives, like if you're seeing a big building, a big structure, and they put scaffolding up to repair it, Henry Nouwen says we do that in our lives. We build up scaffolding that props up our lives. And Henry Nouwen asks us in times of refreshing to receive more of God is to let go of that scaffolding in our lives. So I want you to think about today. What do you carry around? Or what do you prop up as your scaffolding that you don't really need? And you can let go of to find more of God in your life, for His love for you, His goodness for you, His grace for you, His blessings and healing and fruit for you. Hear the words of Isaiah. I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners. I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you, and I will never reject you. So do not fear, I am always with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am always your God, and I will strengthen you and keep you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Mother Teresa always talked about hearing the voice of God and listening to the voice of God. And that's another gift in the summertime spirituality of simplicity, is if we unclutter our lives, we're able to hear God in our lives. We're able to listen for the gifts and nudgings of the Holy Spirit. We're allowing God to come into our lives and work in new and unexpected ways. And Mother Teresa always talked about the Isaiah 49:15-16 passage. See, I will never forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. When you know that God loves you that much, that he's carved your name right onto his hand and holds you in his provision, and all things in your life cohere in God alone, know how precious and dearly loved you are. You are indeed loved of God, chosen his own forever. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be made known to you. One of my last prayer classes that I taught, a student wrote down my concluding words, and I just want to read those for you. Spend time this summer in prayer, in quiet time with the Lord, opening to the exercises of godliness to allow Christ to work in you and to go deeper in spiritual growth with him under Christ. In prayer, the deeper you go, the deeper you come to understand the compassion of God as a sea of endless love in the depth of your soul. It is our job to live into what God has already called us to be, what God is already making us to be. And our gift is to journey into that great experience and God's masterpiece, to become what he has already made us to be. The great spiritual masters saw their places of weakness as the place of God's greatest provision. Don't ever forget that. It's okay. God will work in all circumstances of your life, positive and negative, good and bad. He loves you so much, he's always at work. And it's our gift to find that out and to say thank you. It's God's greatest provision and grace-filled power where God is at work the most in the most difficult. So, my dear friends, don't be hard on yourselves. Let yourself off the hook. It's okay. If you make a wrong turn in life, summertime spirituality of refreshment tells us give God time to turn you back around right. Amen to that. There is no failure in God, my friends. There is only redemptive love. He can rebuild a life. He can rebuild a family. He can rebuild a community. He can rebuild a church. Do not fear. God is always at work in you. For you are indeed God's masterpiece, and he has a purpose and a calling for each of you, and not to miss it. I am with you always. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Rise up. I have already given you success. Just take heart and do it. I will be with you wherever you go. Mother Teresa says, do it all for Jesus. For Jesus is my all in all. I do it all for Jesus and for the good of the people, for the glory of God. We are called to spread the fragrance of Christ wherever we go. Mother Teresa continues, God is all. I am nothing. He is all. I do nothing on my own. He does it. That's the gift. Let him do it in your life. Give him his way. That is what I am. A tiny bit of God's pencil. Just a tiny instrument with which he writes what he likes. Make each day your day to be that instrument for God, that vessel for God. And God writes through each of us. And however imperfect instruments we might be, he writes through each of us beautifully. God gives you eyes to see the beauty and worth of every soul. God gives you feet to move swiftly, to pursue justice, to seek healing, restoration, and peace. God laid his hand upon your life and called you his son or his daughter and breathed hope into your spirit. God fills you with strength to do his work and calls you in his name. A prayer a student gave me, I really like it. I have a God who is almighty, who is sovereign and supreme. I have a God who loves me, and I am on his team. He is all wise and powerful. Jesus is his name. Though everything else is changeable, my God remains the same. I refuse to be defeated. My eyes are on my God. He promises to be with me through this life that I trod. I am looking past my circumstances to heaven's throne above. My prayers reach the heart of God, and I rest in his love. I give thanks to him in everything. My eyes are always on his face. The battle is his. The victory is won. You see, in a spirituality of simplicity, when we focus all on God and we give God the grace and power to work in our lives, Jesus can change your life and make it new no matter what. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstances, he can make your life new in him. Jesus is bigger than anything that we can imagine, think, or do on our own. And so we know, my friends, live for Jesus. Go to the Lord each day in prayer. Go to him each day in prayer. And boldly go, because there is nothing that the Lord cannot do for you. Nothing he cannot heal. Nothing he cannot redeem. Nothing he cannot transform in your life. With Jesus, he can take your irritation and he can squeeze out inspiration. He can take your anger and he can turn it into assurance. He can take your bitterness or your hurt and he can make it a gift of grace and blessing. And he can turn your problems around into praises. Jesus can take your worst and bring out the best. He can lift up the humble. He can comfort the brokenhearted. He can give beauty for ashes. He can give strength for weakness. And he can give eternal life for death. You can take the most hopeless situation and add Jesus to it. That's spirituality. Add Jesus to it every day, my friends. And suddenly, there's new life, new hope, new transformed joy. And that is a gift. And we begin to see our lives not as we see it, but we see our lives as God sees us in it. That's the gift. See our lives as Jesus sees us, and everything in life becomes a gift. Everything becomes a gift because all things in spirituality cohere in Christ alone. In Jesus, we see as he sees. We live as he lives in us. We love as he loves in us. We give as he gives in us. And we serve as he serves in us. Jesus is our all in all. Sit at his feet. Learn of him this summer. Let him live in you, walk in you, be in you, now and forever, for his power and for his glory. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the summertime gift of simplicity. We thank you that we can take time this summer to sit at your feet, to find open spaces in our lives, to focus on you alone, and to have your gifts flow through us in new transformed ways, that we may be your hands and feet to others. We give you thanks, Lord, for your grace, and we open ourselves now to receive his grace in a new way for transformation, for healing, for renewal, for joy, and for hope. In the prayer of Francis of Assisi, we pray, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, let me give pardon. Where there is error, let me give truth. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is despair, help me give hope. Where there is darkness, let me be light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born unto eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.